Glad I know the master of the wind. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we are at this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. While you're turning there, I'd like to put in a plug for tonight as well as Wednesday night. Wednesday nights we've been studying through the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. For whatever reason, the last few weeks the Lord hasn't let us get out of chapter 1 of 2nd Thessalonians. But really been blessing our time together on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock as we study from the standpoint of Jesus is coming again. And Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, about how all Bible prophecy has to do with the nation of Israel. And tonight I'm going to be preaching a message along those lines on is the end near? Is the end near? And going to be focusing our attention on what the Bible has to say about the last days concerning the nation of Israel and as well as the church. And so I hope you'll be back tonight at 6:30 for that. And if you're at all interested in that, if you've ever wondered why the focus attention of the world is on a country that would be a relatively small state if it was part of the United States, then you'll want to be here tonight. So, and that'll be at 6:30. Hope you'll be back tonight for that. This morning, we're continuing on the theme of healing for damaged emotions. Healing for damaged emotions. We've been focusing our attention on that for the last few weeks and want to focus it again this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning at verse number 12, and I'll read down through verse number 15. It says, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. I want us to notice especially verse number 15 says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness, you'll want to mark that, springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Let's bow and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. We know no one is here by accident. But Lord, you plan for each one to be here. Lord, I just pray that this message might touch someone's heart. Lord, that it might speak to someone. Lord, if anyone has been bound by the chains of bitterness and had a root of bitterness springing up in their lives, Lord, I pray that they'd be set free this morning. Lord, that they would lay it all at the altar and give it to you. Lord, we thank you that in you we have life and life more abundantly. Lord, I just pray that we wouldn't let anything keep us from living the abundant life that's found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We pray especially if there's anyone here who's never been saved, your Spirit would convict them of their need for Jesus. Lord, that they would come this morning in full surrender to him and be saved. Lord, we thank you for the one that was saved yesterday and baptized this morning. We pray you'd bless him, bless each one that's here. And Lord, just pray that in everything you might be glorified and honored. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, we are continuing today our series on how we can get healing for our damaged emotions. Many people within the church, as we've been seeing over the last few weeks, many people, even within the church, are what you might call damaged goods. They have had their emotions completely shattered and as a result are not living the abundant life. We all keep going back to that verse in John chapter 10 and verse number 10 where Jesus said that the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, yet many people are not living that abundant life. They are instead, many of them, because of the cares of this life, because of the winds that blow in their life, they have let a root of bitterness spring up inside of them, which is affecting not only themselves, but everyone they come in contact with. I don't want you to raise any hands or point out anyone that you might think is this way, but just think with me for a minute. Have you ever known a bitter person? I mean, a bitter person, someone that's negative all the time. They have bitterness in their life. It's obvious that the cares of life have just completely shattered them and broken them down. And you can just tell by looking into their eyes that they are just bitter and they've become just completely damaged in their emotions and completely living apart from the abundant life in Jesus Christ. Bitterness, according to the Bible, grieves the Holy Spirit. It defiles the individual, and it is corrupt communication. It can also cause many negative physical side effects as well, as I've been studying this week. Today, I want us to look at bitterness as a curse. For many, it is a generational curse passed on from generation to generation. Perhaps years ago, another family treated your family in a wrong way, or someone treated a family member in a wrong way, and that bitter spirit, that root of bitterness that sprung up in that generation has then been passed on from generation to generation. Just like a chain with one link being added to another, with each generation, that new link comes along, and yet if let me just tell you this morning, if you've had that passed on to you, you can break it this morning. You can be the one. You don't have to live forever in bitterness at the world, in bitterness at other people. You can be set free this morning. And if the Son will set you free, you'll be free indeed. If you come from a line of bitter people, your health and the health of generations to come depend on you breaking free from this curse. Studying this week and came across a website. It's called charminghealth.com, and they said this about bitterness. It says, bitterness is a frozen form of latent anger and resentment. People that are bitter are really angry inside and full of resentment toward other people and toward the things of life that have come their way. And they also said this, they said it is the most unhealthy emotion that you can possibly have. Bitterness, having a root of bitterness spring up in your life, is the most unhealthy emotion that you can possibly have. Bitterness is more than a negative outlook on life. It is a destructive and self-destructive power. And today I want us to look together from God's Word, and I want us to see some causes of bitterness. And I also want us to see the curse of bitterness, but then also finally the cure for bitterness. If you've been bitter, you can be cured this morning. If you've had your emotions damaged, you can have them healed this morning. Jesus Christ is the great physician. He wants to heal you spiritually as well as physically and emotionally. He wants to heal the entire you so that the entire you can be used for His glory to reach the next generation for Him. As long as you are filled with bitterness, you won't make an impact in the world for Jesus Christ. As long as you're bitter at other people, other churches, other church members, other people in the world, your boss or whoever it might be, as long as you are filled with bitterness, you will not make the impact for God that He wants to use you to make, and He will not have the preeminence in your life like He deserves. So today let's look, first of all, at the causes of bitterness. I want to remind you what Ephesians 4:31 says. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, Ephesians 4:31, here's your deep theological truth for the morning. Ephesians 4:31 comes right after Ephesians 4:30 and right before Ephesians 4:32. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, Ephesians 4:30 tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, bitterness grieves the Holy Spirit and keeps you from forgiving other people. And let me remind you what Jesus said. He said, if you don't forgive other people, how can you expect God to forgive you? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, there are many different causes for bitterness. that I want us to look at this morning and deal with this morning. First of all, hurtful words can produce bitterness and resentment. There was a song that we used to sing in children's church growing up. It said, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little feet, where you go." We have to be careful the things that come out of our mouths. But let us remember what Jesus said. It is not what comes out that has defiled us, because we are already defiled on the inside. The reason that we have hurtful and harmful things come out of us is because we have hurtful and harmful things in us. But hurtful words can produce bitterness and resentment in the lives of other people. And we are to walk circumspectly, rightly, the Bible says, toward those that are without. Those that are without Jesus Christ. Those who are on the outside of the church. And certainly those who may even be on the inside of the church and are new believers and young converts to Jesus Christ. We have to be careful that we don't let hurtful words produce anger and resentment and bitterness in their lives. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning and you've been hurt by other people and the words that they have said. That old saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me is not true. Words can harm you deeply. And some people, they may shake it off, they may laugh it off, but inside they are harboring up the words that you are saying to them. They remember every hurtful thing that you have ever said to them and that other people have ever said to them. But let me just say, if you've had hurtful words said to you, do whatever you can to keep a root of bitterness from springing up in your life. Perhaps it was gossiping words. "Well, did you hear about her and what she did? I just can't believe what she got into. Can you believe him? You know, we really need to pray for him." You know, if we're not careful in the church, we can let our prayer lines become a gossip line. And a prayer chain become a gossip chain. We need to pray for them. We need to take people to the throne room of heaven and to the one who can do something for them. But we should never be gossiping. We should never be talebearers, backbiters, sowers of discord among the brethren. These things the Bible says that God hates and are an abomination unto Him. But gossiping words. Perhaps you've had people gossip about you and it's produced bitterness and resentment in your life. Perhaps it was vengeful words. "Why, you little..." You fill in the blank. "I ought to do this to you. You'll never hurt me again." Vengeful words. Perhaps it's spiteful words. "You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything." The worst thing you can possibly say to your child is to tell them they are stupid. Even if they're doing something stupid, you should not call them stupid. You need to speak words of encouragement. Whatever happened to the days in the Old Testament where the fathers would sit down the children and would prophesy over them and tell them all the good things that God was going to do through their life for generations to come? We need to get back to that in America in the 21st century. We need to have the hearts of the fathers turned to the children and the children to the fathers. But some of you, you had an earthly father to tell you that you were stupid, that you would never amount to anything, and it's produced bitterness and resentment in your life that you've been carrying for years. For some, you cannot possibly fathom how God could love you. After all, how could a heavenly Father whom I've never seen love me if my earthly father whom I have seen is always abusing me verbally and physically? Spiteful words. You say, "You're getting a little too close to home now, preacher." Let me tell you, all around us, even within the church, there are people, if we knew what was going on behind closed doors, It probably wouldn't shock us because we've seen so much on television. We've read so much in the newspapers. I've just been reminded afresh and anew recently of how many hurting people there are in the world. And those of us who know Jesus Christ, it is of utmost importance that we let Jesus Christ truly set us free and heal us from our damaged emotions so that we can help other people be set free for the glory of God. Perhaps it's judgmental words. Or you're only doing that Christian thing to get attention. You're only raising your hands and shouting and all that to bring attention to yourself. You don't care about anyone but yourself. Perhaps someone had judgmental words for you because they felt that you weren't living at a high enough standard in your Christian life. Wasn't enough for you to try to do your best to fulfill what the Scripture told you to do, but because your hair was a certain length. You're a woman and you happen to wear pants to church one night. God forbid. For some groups, the women, you were a woman, you happen to show up with makeup on. I know a preacher not far from here. He had another preacher that came to him and told him, I thought you were a Bible-believing Christian pastor. Now, I always thought a lot of you, but you've become liberal because you won't preach against women wearing pants anymore. Sad thing is that hurtful word produced bitterness in that preacher's heart. I never will forget, he said, I'm really struggling with bitterness because that preacher that came and told him that died before they could resolve it. Some of you, the people that have hurt you, have died and you feel there's no way to resolve it. Let me just tell you, Jesus Christ offers forgiveness. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. If they've gone on, if they were saved, they're already in heaven, and they want you to get beyond this bitterness that you've had in your life. Let Jesus Christ set you free and dig up that root of bitterness out of your heart this morning. Not only can hurtful words produce bitterness, and that's why we as Christians need to be sure that our speech is always grace seasoned with salt. Speak the truth in love, but make sure it's in love. But hurtful attitudes produce bitterness and resentment. Here we go. Some wives can become bitter at their husbands because of their husband's lack of interest. Some husbands can become bitter at their wives because their wife didn't encourage them like they thought they should. Perhaps you're bitter at someone else because of that person's lack of empathy in feeling the pain that you are going through. Perhaps it was a lack of sincerity or integrity on the part of someone else. Perhaps you trusted someone and they let you down. Perhaps you had a spouse that you trusted that committed adultery. Perhaps you had a preacher that you looked up to that got into sin. Perhaps you had a Sunday school teacher that you really trusted and you really thought a lot of that ended up forsaking the church and forsaking the Lord. And now you've had bitterness because of that lack of sincerity or integrity on the part of that other person. You've let a root of bitterness spring up in your heart to where you don't trust anyone, and you're just resentful at the world. You've developed a me against the world attitude. Elijah got that way. The great prophet of God, after his greatest victory on Mount Carmel, he's fleeing for his life from a wicked queen, Jezebel, and he gets out there and he's all alone and he tells the Lord, he said, I just want to go on and die. I'm the only one left anyway. And God showed him, no, there are 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knee to Baal. You're not the only one left. It's not you against the world. There are other people out there that are being true, that are sincere. There are too many that are sincere for you to let the devil show you only the ones that aren't sincere. Sometimes it's our own prejudice that produce bitterness and resentment. Well, since they moved in, the community's just not the same anymore. Well, since they started singing a different type of music down there, I just can't worship anymore. We let our own prejudice produce bitterness and resentment in our hearts. We cannot help and we cannot dictate to everyone else how they are going to live their lives. We cannot live their life for them, but we can take control over how we react to them. We can't help sometimes people who are mean and spiteful coming up and saying mean and spiteful things to us, but we can take control over our reaction to that. We cannot determine their actions, but we can determine our reaction. And we can determine today that whatever it takes, I'm not going to let bitterness spring up in my life and keep me from living the abundant life in Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's hurtful, whether perceived or non-perceived actions that produce bitterness and resentment. Perhaps your husband forgot your birthday or your anniversary. Perhaps he went out at the last second after you'd been telling him all year what you wanted for your birthday, and he goes out at the last second and gets you whatever he can find on the spur of the moment, and it just wasn't what you wanted. Hello. Making sure y'all are still there. Perhaps it was not noticing something new about you or about someone else. You went out and got yourself all fixed up. Got a new hairdo. You come home and he's just sitting there like a lump of lard in front of the television set. Didn't even notice. You let bitterness. Now let me just say to the husbands, you better start noticing or someone else will. Hello. But do not let someone's actions that you perceived as being hurtful to you produce bitterness in your life. Perhaps it was a real hurtful action. The spouse committing adultery. That boy that told you you were everything in his world. He gets you pregnant and then leaves you there to raise a child alone. Perhaps it was abuse. Whether it was physical abuse or emotional abuse of control and manipulation, or verbal abuse of these spiteful and hurtful words. But it's produced bitterness in your life. All these do cause bitterness and resentment. That website I was talking about, they said this. It says, normally bitter people have an amazing memory for the tiniest detail, and they wallow in self-pity and resentment. They record every offense in their minds and are always ready to show others how much they have been hurt. Bitter people defend their grudges constantly. They feel that they have been hurt too deeply and too often, and that this exempts them from the need to forgive. Their hearts are sometimes so full of resentment that they no longer have the capacity to love. Have you ever been around those people? You won't be around them long before you'll start saying, oh no, they're coming, I better go the other way. You see them out at Walmart and you duck down the other aisle, hoping they didn't see you. Because you know they're just going to keep spewing out their bitterness and how they're constantly carrying grudges toward other people. That is not how the child of God is supposed to live. The child of God is to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We have joy in the Holy Ghost. It really doesn't matter how people treat us. We love our enemies. We bless them that curse us. We do good to them that hate us. We pray for them which despitefully use us and persecute us. Why? Because they did it to Jesus Christ and we're no better than He is. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you've been forgiven by Jesus Christ, you need to forgive other people. And like the person that came to Jesus said, how many times shall we forgive? Till seven times. He said, nay, but till 70 times seven. In other words, completely, perfectly, wholly. Whenever anybody does anything wrong to you, whether they ask for forgiveness or not, you always forgive them and release the burden. Why? Because you're not going to let a root of bitterness grow up in your life. That's the causes, but quickly, the curse of bitterness. Acts 8:23, there's an interesting passage. It's about where Philip went over into Samaria and began to preach, and the whole city comes to faith in Christ. There was a man named Simon the sorcerer, and he becomes bitter toward Philip and how the people are following him. And Simon Peter comes up and he says this to this Simon the sorcerer who wanted to offer them money so that they would give him the Holy Spirit and so that he could produce the same miracles and perform the same miracles that Philip was performing, not for the glory of God, but so other people would follow him. And Peter says to him, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. When you get in bitterness, you become chained to your sin. The gall there. You're all familiar with the gallbladder. Produces a substance called bile that helps in the digestive system. But sometimes when your digestive system gets out of track, or gets out of whack, that bile sometimes, and especially when you get really angry sometimes, that bile begins to rise up in your stomach. Your stomach starts churning. Rises up in your throat, and there's nothing worse than having heartburn. When he's saying that you're in the gall of bitterness, it means bile or anything which makes or tastes bitter. He says you are the most bitter person. And we are warned in Scripture to not let this root of bitterness grow up in our lives. Whatever is making us bitter, we need to give it to the Lord. Bitterness does lead to physical illness. Some physical consequences of bitterness are headaches, ulcers, sleeplessness, heart attacks, anxiety, fear, tension, and depression. You say, how so? You get bitter towards someone. Every time you see them, your blood pressure goes up. Every time, then it gets in your sleep, you start dreaming about them. You start recalling every minute of the day. You start remembering and recounting, going over in your mind that last episode of when you saw that person. Perhaps it was an ex-spouse who left you when you had done all you could to love them and care for them, but they left you and took the children. And now every time you see them every other weekend, when it's your weekend to get the children, that bitterness just rises up in you. Your blood pressure starts to go up. That bile starts to do its thing within you, and it can produce all kinds of things and physical consequences in your life. Ulcers, sleeplessness, heart attacks, anxiety and fear. Bitterness raises blood pressure and stress levels. This makes the heart work harder, enlarge, and eventually go into cardiac arrest. The high blood pressure can also lead to strokes. Bitterness causes you to constantly dwell on something stressful that makes you angry and can lead to ulcers. Bitterness causes you to develop a paranoia, which leads to anxiety, fear, and depression, where you're constantly thinking that everyone is out to get you because you're bitter at someone who was out to get you back in the past. And you begin to get this idea of, I will get him or her before they get me. I will show them. Maybe I won't even try anymore. I'm not appreciated anyway. Maybe I won't even show up. When we were kids, if we didn't get our way when we were playing kickball, well, I'll take my ball and go home. Sometimes in the church, we're the same way. Well, I'll just take my ball and go home. I'm not appreciated. What I do is not appreciated. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter so much what people think or whether they're as appreciative as they ought to be. What matters is that you're living a life that's pleasing to God the Father, that you're doing whatever you can to win a crown so that you'll have something to place back at Jesus' feet. And if you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into thy rest," that's all the appreciation you need. Hallelujah. Bitterness starts small and hidden, but ends up large and unable to keep hidden. Notice there in verse 15 of Hebrews 12, it says, "Lest a root of bitterness springing up cause trouble." A root is something lying underground which sprouts up. Some of them are unseen at first, but eventually they will be seen by all. Oftentimes, things can grow from something small and end up very huge. I don't know how many of you have ever planted any boxwood hedge. It's down at Lowe's one day and they were having a sale. It's the only time I can afford to go to Lowe's when they're having a sale. They were having a sale on trees and bushes. So I went down there and looking around, I saw some boxwood hedge. And it was just in a little old container about like that and just had two or three little sprouts coming up. And on the card I got to reading, it said that this plant can grow into a hedge that's 10 by 10. I got to thinking, could that not have been what the writer of Hebrews was talking about here? Something that starts small. Perhaps it was a non-perceived hurtful action by someone else. They didn't even mean to be hurtful, but you took it as hurtful and you let the devil produce a root of bitterness in your life, and that begins to spring up in your life, and then sin adds to sin, and then other hurtful actions by other people start to compound that original problem, and you begin to let bitterness grow until it's completely out of control and the hedge is so big that you can't even see that there's an outside world out there. There is an outside world, and it's longing to know Jesus Christ. And if we who know Him are so bitter that we never get out there to where they are, and we never make an impact, how on earth are they going to come to know Him? He has no plan B other than the Great Commission to get the gospel out there. And as long as we are bound by our chains of bitterness and we're bound and wrapped up in ourselves by it, we're never going to make an impact out there in leading others to faith in Christ. The one you're holding the grudge against often doesn't even know it. You see them out and they're like, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm all right." You walk on. Well, they immediately know you're not all right. Didn't even know what they had done. That's why Jesus said, if a brother offends you, you ought to go to that brother personally. Make it right between you and that brother. Instead of letting bitterness grow up inside of you, instead of always sweeping it under the rug. Because if you let bitterness grow and grow and build up, maybe no one can see it right now, but eventually everyone will see it because you let it build and build, and it's a ticking time bomb inside of you, and it will explode one day, either in an angry rage or explode in some physical illness and condition. Like any other sin, what you dabble in moderation, your children and grandchildren will run to in excess. Got to remember and thinking about Andy Griffith's show I watched one time. The Carters and Wakefields. One night, Andy gets a knock at his door real late at night. There was a young man from one family, young lady from the other. They want to get married. Andy quickly gets some clothes on, goes to marry them as the justice of the peace, and then their daddy show up with guns. Stopping the wedding. Andy goes over the next day to try to talk to him. Goes to Mr. Carter's house. He said, "What are you feuding about?" He said, "Why are you shooting at him?" He said, "Because we're feuding." "Well, why are you feuding?" "Because I'm shooting at him." goes over to Mr. Wakefield's house, and it's the same thing. It got to where they didn't even know why they were bitter and fighting with one another. It's just what had been passed on from generation to generation. Their daddies and granddaddies had had this feud ongoing. And you know, it's the same way with us sometimes. We grow up with bitterness being fed to us. We become bitter ourselves, and we develop this me against them attitude. Let me tell you, not everyone is out to get you. Jesus Christ ultimately is for you, and if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Quickly, been saying that a lot here in the last few minutes. As I said, we cannot control the actions of other people, but we can control our reaction. Heard this story on the radio yesterday about this woman who had her daughter came to her house. Her daughter had had a lot of adversity in her life. The woman didn't say, she was just talking about all the adversity, all the adverse things that had happened in her life, and she didn't say a word. All she did was she put on 3 pots of water to boil. She put carrots in the first pot, she put eggs in the second, and she put coffee beans in the third. After about 20 minutes of boiling, she drained all the water off of the carrots and the eggs and the coffee beans. And she said, I want you to feel these carrots. How do they feel? And she said, they're real soft and mushy. She said, now crack one of these eggs. Peel the shell off. What is it now? She said, well, it's a lot harder and it's become a hard-boiled egg. Then she poured the water that had become coffee. And she said, now taste this. What does it taste like? She said, it's real rich, like coffee's supposed to taste. She said, you see, here's the point. The carrots had got, they all faced the same adversity of the boiling water. The carrots, when they went in, were hard, unrelenting. But the water completely changed them, softened them, made them mushy and weak. The eggs, on the other hand, had gone in very fragile, with a hard outer shell, but protecting the yolk inside, and the adversity made it hard on the inside. The coffee beans were unique. Instead of the water changing them, they changed the water. You see, you and I have the same choice whenever adversity comes our way. Whenever people do us wrong, we have the same choice. Either we can let that adversity change us. Perhaps we go into adversity with a me against the world attitude and it completely smashes us and completely just melts us to pieces like the carrots. Or perhaps we go in very fragile with a hard outer shell, but then when we face the adversity, it just makes us harder and harder on the inside like the eggs. Or we can be like the coffee beans who change the water. You say, how do you change the water? Quickly, and then I'll be done. If we're going to cure bitterness, we need to first of all consider Jesus. Verse 3 of Hebrews 12, consider him who endured such hostility against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Consider Jesus. He was treated worse than any of us will ever be treated, and for nothing wrong that he ever did. The man who knew no sin became sin for you and me. The bitterness and anger of the world was poured out against him on the cross, yet he did not sin. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He suffered worse than any of us. He endured more than any of us will ever have to endure. Consider Jesus when you start thinking about letting a root of bitterness take hold. Secondly, invest in others. Verse 12 says, strengthen the hands which hang down in feeble knees. See, when you start pouring your life into other people, you start helping them through their problems and help to bear their burdens, your own problems become lighter. Sometimes you realize how their problems are greater than your own. Strengthen those who are weaker than you. Help those in need who are in need more than you. witness to the lost, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, put others ahead of ourselves. We're to esteem others as being better than ourselves. We've talked before about how to have joy is to put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. If you want to cure bitterness, start strengthening other people around you. How long has it been since you really invested in the life of someone else? How long has it been since you took an underprivileged child under your wing, not because you had to, but just because you wanted to be a blessing to them? How long has it been since you shared your faith with someone else? Since you let Jesus Christ do such a work inside of you that it was just overflowing in daily life and you wanted to tell someone else about what God was doing? How long has it been since you invested in someone else and you legitimately cared about someone else more than yourself? How about starting at home with your spouse and your children? Putting them and their needs ahead of you and your own. Starting with the Father, setting the example, putting the needs of your wife and children ahead of your own needs. Invest in other people, strengthen those that are weak. Then worry about keeping yourself straight more than trying to keep everyone else straight. Notice verse 13, make straight paths for your feet. Came across this verse a few weeks ago on Wednesday night in 1 Thessalonians. Study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands. Instead of meddling in everybody else's business and trying to make them do what you think they need to do, that's only going to produce bitterness in your heart when they don't do what you want them to do. Instead of that, worry about yourself. Get the beam out of your own eye before getting the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Then pursue peace and holiness. Pursue peace with some people. Is that what it says? This means yes, this means no. Does it say to pursue peace with some people? No, it says pursue peace with all people. Every one of them, even the person doing you wrong, pursue peace with them. Pursue peace and holiness, it says, without which no one will see the Lord. You see, bitterness blinds us to where we cannot see God. It blinds us to God's work in the lives of other people when all we can see is their negative qualities. And it will bind us from making a difference in their life. Then the final thing, don't presume upon God's grace. Don't use the grace of God as a license to carry on in your own bitterness and sin. Says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. What does it mean to fall short of the grace of God? It means to look at the grace of God in a dimmer light than what it ought to be looked at. How do we do that whenever we say, well, God's a God of grace and He'll forgive me, so I'm just going to keep on in this bitterness. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm just going to keep on doing my own thing. I'm going to keep on in sin. If you use grace of God as a license to sin, it could be that you haven't really experienced the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient. It will supply all of our needs. He will bless us with every spiritual blessing. But we who have experienced the grace of God and forgiveness of our sins, we need to be showing that grace to everybody else. And with the same measure of grace that God's given to us, we need to give that to everybody else. Is there a cure for bitterness? Consider Jesus. Instead of you letting the waters of adversity, the bitter waters of adversity, change you, you be like that tree over there in the Old Testament. They didn't have any water for days. They come to a stream. They called it Marah because the waters there were bitter. God told Moses, cut down a tree and cast it into the water. And when they did that, the water was made sweet. That tree we know represents Jesus Christ. When you consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, we won't become weary and discouraged, and it will keep us from becoming bitter. When we face the bitter waters, put the tree of Jesus Christ first and let Him sweeten those waters for you. so you can live the abundant life. Every head bowed and every eye closed.